Hello, good morning, good afternoon, Dzień dobry, Digwit, how's it going? Welcome to another episode of Atletico Spudland. So hope everyone's well. I presume you all are. If you aren't, I hope you get well soon, because no one likes being sick. As you know, I have been. It's shit. But this is... maybe we'll just get straight into the short story. This is a bit of a long one. Excuse me. This is like the prologue of the story that I'm working on. I'm still not quite sure what to do with it when it's done, because I kind of, well, what I'd like to do would be to write the story and then maybe change it into a comic script and maybe have it done like that, graphic novel type of thing. So like a graphic novel, a novel, and then try and get a screenplay or something out of it, you know. But I wouldn't go down that road. I'd need some help on the screenplay stuff, because I can write a story, but screenplays are a different thing, you know. So I'd need help. But look, I mean, it's the kind of thing that I'm putting a kind of long deadline on, because there's some aspects of the book that I'm not making excuses here now, but I have this kind of magic system in it, kind of based on, not tarot cards, but not divination cards either, kind of a mix between the two. They're kind of a mix between, what would it be, a mix between tarot cards, and also there's like zodiacal, signs in it as well. So like because this is like an Irish, ancient Irish kind of Tua de Don and this kind of stuff, Celtic mythology based on, there's 13 birth signs rather than the 12 of the zodiac that we have: Aries, Pisces, Virgo, yada yada. In the Irish system there was 13. It was one for every moon. And the Om letters also correspond to it as well. So I'm trying to kind of work them in and have the kind of main kind of trump cards of tarot, but Celtic versions of it, kind of their heroes and things like that. So it's a ton of work, but it's fun. You know, I like putting it together. And you'll hear the cards are mentioned in the prologue here, so you might get a little bit of an idea from. And anyone who's been buying some of the sigil timber stuff off of me has gotten the benefit of these as well, because that's what I use to come up with the sigils for them, you know. Even though I don't have a deck, I just have stuff written out that will correspond to the different cards, but yeah, so it's fun. It's a lot of fun. It's a good bit of work, but like, it's a lot of working out stuff. And does that work with that? Does that work with that? And how it all fits and this and that. But it's, you know me by now. I like taking on big things and trying my best at them. But yeah, so, you know, hopefully this will turn into something. I'm giving myself a long deadline on it. Well, it's that thing about, you know, if you write a page every day, by the end of the year, you have 365 pages. And then you start your edit on it, you know. So I'm trying to live up to that and trying to write as much as I can. I'm not doing it every day, to be honest, because I have, you know, work, jobs. So I don't always get to do it. But when I do, I dive into it and do my best. So this is the prologue. I don't really have a name for it yet. Thinking of calling the Bistada Elves. But I don't like elves, because they're not really elves. Bistada Tua doesn't make much sense. It's kind of that, like, the... so it's this kind of belief that when the modern Irish came in to Ireland, they fought with the Tua, and they kind of banished them to the underworld. But they kind of still reside, you know, under big mountains and hills. So the kind of idea is that they're scattered all across Europe now, and they can be met at these kind of magical places, you know. So yeah, I might call it that, but Bistada is a hard word to say for English speakers, so I might not either. Anyway, it doesn't matter. I'm just hypothesizing here, and we're already 5 minutes in, So you've had enough of me rambling, and I'll have a chat at the end as well. So yeah, let's go. Hope you like it. And let me know if you have any comments or suggestions or anything like that. Do let me know, because I like the idea of, it's like that, I presume many of you have seen that film, The Martian, with Matt Damon. Why does everyone do that? Poor Matt Damon. It is South Park, not South Park, Team America, isn't it? The guy who wrote The Martian, I can't remember his name, Andy something, I think his name was, he wrote his book by putting out blog posts for each chapter, and then people with like more kind of scientific knowledge than him would say, no, look, this is wrong, you should change this to this, that, and that, and then he'd go off and he'd research it and he'd fix it. And that's why the science of The Martian is so good. You know, now look, I'm talking about mythical figures and mythology and, you know, archetypal stuff and all like that. But, you know, if you have suggestions, you know, don't be shy, get in touch. I'm very much open to help on these things. So yeah, hope you like it. The antlers were stuck in the mud. Oh, no. Nahura thought. Are you dead? He asked as he walked forward. All that could be heard was the water crashing from the waterfall nearby and the loud calls of some of the ever-watching crows circling in the sky. Then the antlers shook slightly in the sticky mud. What? Nahura asked. He lifted his head out of the mud. No, Nahura, I'm not dead. You got me fair and square, though. Bit of a sucker punch when I wasn't expecting it, but fair is fair. You've won. Now, will you stop gawping at me and give me a hand to get up? Nahura took a few steps down over the rocks and extended his hand to Kernonos. Maybe, lad, would have been different if we were able to do this over a riddle instead of a fight, he said, as he got up off the ground. Aye, maybe, said Nahura. I didn't mean to hit you so hard, but you know, he looked for the words. You don't often get to knock out a god very often, and you certainly don't want to anger one after you've done it. I had to win, though, didn't I? I'm going to let you in on a little secret, lad. Win, draw, or loss in these trials, and it doesn't really make a difference. You can lose and show great heart and courage and cunningness, and you can still be awarded a pass. Hardly anyone's ever fought me, though. It's hundreds, maybe thousands of years since I had a fight. Kernonos stood a good 2 meters above Nahura in height, and his antlers extended as far out as his height, and the moss growing from his shoulders down to his arms shone a bright emerald in the sunshine. Nahura wanted to ask if the moss weighed much and hindered his movement, but decided against it for fear it might sound foolish. He decided he'd ask Tonnen when he got back to the druid. No, moss doesn't hinder me at all. Sure, usually I'd have a few birds nested on me. Wee things, sparrows, finches, tits. They don't even mind the moving about. Sure, it's just that I don't really be moving much anyway. I just put my hand to the ground and I know what's happening almost anywhere. I only move if I need to step in and help nature or an animal in a bit of bother. And most of the time I just sit around peacefully in awe at the wonder of it all. I didn't know you could read thoughts, Kernonos. Well, I wouldn't be telepathic or anything, but I could see the question written on your face, boy. Well done, though. You beat me fair and I took the beating I deserved. And good luck with the rest of your trial. You've one left, yes? I do. Tell me this, though. What's your birth tree? Oak. I was born June 12th in the modern calendar. I should have known. He walked on in silence, heading back to where Tonnen had told Nahura that Kernonos would meet him. Aren't the sounds of nature wonderful? Kernonos asked. They are, There's little better in the world than a good walk in nature. You can nearly drink in how good it is for the soul. The god laughed. You nearly can, Nahura, you nearly can.
Oak, yes, of course. You're physically strong, but that's not always a sign. You've a strong head on your shoulders, boy, I can see that. Justice is important to you, and don't ever forget that as you get on in years. The little man has to be stood up for. The lions and the bears and the wolves, they might make the most racket in the wilderness, but the voices of the beetles and the spiders and the wrens are every bit as important, you know. Makes sense that you'd want to be a druid, too. Sure doesn't it mean, speakers with the oak? I'd happily bet you'll pass the final trial easily enough, lad. And I can see you going on to be a great knower and teacher of the ways of the Tua.
Now, I'm no clairvoyant, and I can't claim to see the future, but I've been around an awful long time, Nahura. I have a good feeling about you. You'll do well.
I'm not so sure, Cronus. There's not that many of us left. We might be the last of our kind. People keep going on and on about the prophecy and that there's still time for it to come true, but I'm not so sure. It's been around for too long and hasn't come to pass yet. I think they're deluding themselves, honestly. I think we'll be the last here and then men will leave the place in ruins. They're like a disease. Everywhere they go, they set up, they start trading and then get greedy and take all of the natural resources from a place, leave it in ruins and then move on. Or worse, they build cities and towns on their trading and import everything from all over and... He let out an exasperated sigh. Can't they see the destruction? Is it because they live such short lives? I know we're not supposed to approach them, but they're going to kill the planet eventually.
Come on, Nora, don't despair. The Earth was here for an awful long time before the likes of even my kind came along. And then your kind, and then man. The Earth will be here long after we're all gone. Man won't kill the planet. They might kill themselves off. But if they do, sure, you know, Nahura, they won't be the first mammals to go extinct. But I understand you. They're still in their infancy as a species, though. Try not to be so hard on them. They've just advanced a little too quickly, is all. Things will balance out eventually. Nature will always find a balance. They rounded a corner and were coming close to the spot Tannin had sent Nahura to. They began their ascent up the small hill to the rock table at the top. Your prophecy still does have time, and that doesn't mean it will or it won't come true. I can't tell you that, but whether it does or not, Nahura, you know your role in life, don't you? Tannin told me during my studies that your only role in life is to find your true role in life.
Oh, it's been too long since I saw Tannin. When you see him, tell him to pay me a visit. Tell him I'd love to share a smoke pipe with him again.
That's some sage advice, lad. Actually, it's better than sage. It's ideal for how your kind should see life. At the top, Nahura stood on the rock table and called Tannin's name.
Thank you, Lord Cronus. Again, I apologize for hitting you so hard.
All's fair, Nahura. Good luck with your final trial, and when it's all done, I'd like to extend the welcome invitation to you as well. Don't be shy, and when you ever need answers about the flora or fauna, you'll know how to contact me after you win in the final trial, which I'm confident you will.
Nahura again called Tannin's name.
Don't despair about the fate of your people either. Time is long. Very, very long. And while your lifetime is so much longer than men's, it's still little more than a blink of an eye for my kind. Nature always finds balance, and if it seems dark now for the planet, then that just means it's night time and the dawn would eventually come. The giant god extended his hand to shake Nahura's. As Nahura put out his hand to accept it, the antlered one took him by surprise and embraced him in a hug. At that moment, Nahura could feel his body collecting some of Cronus' wealth of knowledge. A tsunami of calmness and oneness with all of nature washed over him, and it almost felt like he was floating in the nature god's bear-like embrace. Cronus let go.
Now you know my love for nature, Nahura. Go back to your world with a love for that knowledge and remain a seeker of truth and justice. You'll make a very fine druid indeed. Now, step back onto that rock there and I'll call Tannin for a final time.
The huge god turned around and faced the valley and let out the loudest guttural voice shout Nahura had ever heard down across the valley.
Tannin!
He shouted for what felt like an eternity as the ground shook beneath his feet.
Birds flew from their nesting places and packs of animals ran in groups in the valley below them. The Celtic god laughed again. Oh, I enjoyed that, Nahora. It's good to give the animals a fright every now and then. Gets their blood going. Goodbye, Nahora. Hopefully we'll meet again soon. Goodbye, Cronus, Nahora said before closing his eyes. With a flash and a crack of thunder, Nahora opened his eyes and he was back in Tonnen's ceremony room. That silly smile in your face tells me you won. What was the riddle? Or was it a quest that he set you? A battle, Tonnen. A fight? You fought him? Why would you fight the nature god? Well, you know, most of the druids just take him on his riddles or quests. And I wanted to be different. I had a feeling he'd be rusty in a fight.
And was he?
No, he wasn't. But I got him as he was coming over some rocks. I got a bit higher than him and hid. When he got close, I surprised him and knocked him out with the swing of a club. I thought I killed him, to be honest. He didn't answer me when I called him.
Surprised you asked for a battle, Nahora. But then again, you're full of surprises, aren't you? Always thinking differently than everyone else. Then again, I shouldn't be surprised.
So I won't be. How long was I out for? It felt like I was there for a day.
No, not at all. I reckon it's only about an hour since you drank. Now off with you and get some rest. Final trial is tomorrow.
Nahora put up his hood and walked home. He was elated with his success, but putting his hood up meant he wouldn't be disturbed by anyone on his walk home, and even though he wanted to shout from the rooftops about his triumph, he knew he had to get some rest for the final part of his ordeal. Around midday the following day, he returned to Tonnen's house.
This is it then, Nahora. Pass the final trial and you become a druid. Now, you know, your days of learning will never end. The day I don't learn something is a sad day, and it will be for you too. But you'll have learned enough and tested yourself enough to become one of my kind. I've taken a shine to you since you became my apprentice, Nahora, so this is a little bittersweet for me. I'll miss having you as a student, but saying that, I'm looking forward to having you as a colleague.
Thank you, Tonnen. Those are kind words, and I look forward to being your colleague too. You've taught me well.
Hold that thought, lad. You're not done yet. There's a final one to go.
Tonnen stood up and took some herbs and dried mushrooms and a bottle of liquid from a shelf.
Pass me your cup there, Nahora, and let's get this process started.
The young apprentice obliged. Tonnen mashed his herbs and mushrooms together in a stone pestle, uttering spells as he did his work. Finally, he added them to the liquid and poured most of the mixture into Nahora's cup. He kept a little for himself, of course. They both took their cups, toasted sláinte to one another, and drank the concoction.
Pass this trial and I get to teach you the recipe, and you'll be allowed to make your own adjustments as well.
I think I'll make it sweeter, that's for sure, said the trainee druid.
You can if you want, but it's bitter for a reason, you know. If it tastes nice, too many people will be drinking it, and we'd have nothing but villages of Tua off journeying in distant lands, and nothing would get done in this world.
Anyway, your first card was Morrigan, and you passed her personal quest. Then came Cronus, and you took him on in a battle. Now you've one more card to draw. Take a few minutes to meditate, Nahora, and let the drink take effect. When you feel it coming on, draw your final card. 20 minutes or so passed before Nahora began to feel the effect of Tonnen's drink.
I'm ready, he said.
Take my deck of cards here. Shuffle them, part them, scatter them. Do what you will, but choose one and turn it up. Nahora took the cards and shuffled them. Then he placed them spread out on the floor in front of him. Calmed his thoughts and went into a slight trance and let his eyes scan over all of the cards. Finally, his eyes came to rest on one. He reached out and turned it over.
The Dagda, said Tonnen.
Oh, you poor devil. One of the toughest cards to turn up.
I hope he takes a liking to you like Cronus did, Nahora.
Nahora walked towards the small bed attached to the wall and lay down. The potion was taking full effect now and the colours were swirling. Tonnen was speaking, but he couldn't make out the words. They were blending with the colours and he was struggling to keep his eyes open. He gave in to the potion and closed his eyes just for a moment. When he opened them, he was standing again on a rock table. This time he wasn't at the top of a mountain though. He was beside a large banquet table with a cauldron above a fire close by. It was set for a huge feast. and something that smelled delicious was bubbling in the huge pot above the fire. From behind him, a voice boomed. "Who are you?" Nahura turned around as he said, "My name's Nahura. I'm here for the third part of my trial." As the words came out of his mouth, it remained open as he finished his sentence, as he stared agape at the tallest being he'd ever seen. The Dagda was as tall as two oak trees on top of each other, and his legs were just as thick. "The final part! Great! Congratulations on getting so far, boy. But first we'll eat, and break bread together, and drink some wine, and then we'll decide how this trial will go." They ate and drank long into the night, with the Dagda quizzing Nahura on his druidic knowledge and the goings-on in the worlds of the Tua and of men. Nahura had stopped eating hours ago, but the Dagda seemed to have a bottomless pit of a stomach and continued to feast. "So it's actually true, Dagda. Your cauldron never empties." Dagda laughed. "Of course it's true, Nahura. I didn't invent magic. That was Anu. But she gave it to me, and as the first druid, the first thing I did was make sure I'd never go hungry. I spent too many years hungry for that to happen again. But look, that's a talk for another time. Tell me this. How do you want to do this? A quest, a riddle, or a battle?" "Dagda, I'm not stupid. I know a glance of your club can kill a person instantly and bring someone back from the dead. And I know you've never lost a fight." "I don't want to battle you. I choose a riddle. I want a test of knowledge." Dagda laughed again. "Oh, you're a smart one, all right. Well, come with me. Let's go across that field there and we'll get this started." They both stood up and walked towards one corner of the field. As they got closer, Nahura could see that there were three battle clubs resting against the inside corner of a stone wall. He wondered what this riddle was going to be. "Here's your riddle, boy. Three clubs lie against that wall there. One is oak, one is ash, one is birch. Each of them have their own magical properties. Your question then. Which club will you pick to fight me?"
Dagda, I can't beat you. You're the king of the gods. I show us riddle. There's no way I can win."
Dagda just laughed. "Pick your club, Nahura, before you annoy me. It's time to fight."
There you go. I hope you liked it. That's the that sets the scene for the rest of the story. Yeah, maybe as I put them together, I'll put them out every now and again. And yeah, I hope you liked it. Gonna take a couple of weeks off now, heading off. And yeah, it just won't be around. So I hope you liked that. Give us a shout if you did. Even if you didn't, you can as well if you want. Spoil your shit. I hate you. You've ruined my life. I hope I'm not having that effect on anyone. And yeah, mad. Yeah, look, like I've said before to you as well. Look, most of the stuff I'm doing now is over on the Tommy and Spud Talk About podcast. So check that out. Go over to adventuresinwoo.com. You'll find it there. And I think Tommy has it. It's up on SoundCloud. Oh, yeah, it's on iTunes and SoundCloud and all these places. Look for Adventures in Woo Woo. And you should be listening to that anyway. And then the Tommy and Spud one, where we talk about different woo subjects. It's great fun. I get to learn loads and get to learn from the oracle of wisdom that is Tommy. yeah, it's great. It's great crack. I love doing them. And I obviously love doing these ones as well. Doing the short stories and having a little chat after. But yeah, like I say, a couple of weeks break now, and then I'll be back with more. And thanks for listening. I hope you're enjoying them, and I'll speak to you soon. Good luck.